Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Tunnell, for today, Sunday, April 23rd. Welcome to the show. Tonight, our guest who was supposed to be, we were supposed to have Mayron, a representative from Mayron, on tonight, but she had to cancel at the last minute. So we decided to bring you a recap of what we did this weekend in beauty. But just to let you know, we will bring Mayron back on probably in either May or June when we have an availability. So this weekend, my sister and I both were panelists at the Professional Makeup Artist, Professional Makeup Artist Conference and Expo that's held every year here in Atlanta. This year was the fourth year. It's put on by makeup artist Gwyneth Mosby. And let me just tell you a little bit about what Gwyneth is trying to do with the show. And so she writes, the Professional Makeup Artist Conference, which is known as PMAC, is finally here. This is historically Atlanta's first makeup artist trade show. I wanted to assemble the makeup artist community, placing all of us under one roof to celebrate our craft. I never imagined that we would impact makeup artists nationally and get them to celebrate with us. It's an honor, a joy to see a weekend that focuses on our achievements and the enrichment of our craft. This year's theme is Into the Woods. We will take you into the enchanted forest, celebrating the fantasy, whimsy, and creativity of makeup. It is my goal that every year Atlanta's MUA scene grows educationally, professionally, and that we develop a very strong sense of community. Enjoy the show. So the show was sponsored by NYX, LBC by Sean Richards, which is London Brush Company, Tarte, and Tarte. And so this weekend, my sister and I both were invited to be on panels, two different panels, and we can go into detail about those a little later. But I was on a business panel called Representing Your Brand. And then my sister, she was on a panel, and it was called... What was your panel called?
So it was a panel for primetime television.
Primetime television. Okay. So we'll go into detail about those panels a little bit later, but I just wanted to talk about the show. It's a very small show, very, very small amount of vendors there, and so the focus is primarily on your education, the competitions that they had there, which were several competitions. I didn't get a chance to witness any of those. You know how it is at trade shows. There are so many things going on at the same time, but I kind of wanted to give you guys an idea of what types of classes were taking place and what was going on. On Saturday, which was opening day, a fellow film and television makeup artist here in Atlanta, Kara Rashid, she taught a seminar on set etiquette, which is oh so important in the film and TV industry. It's so important. There are so many people there who had questions about how to get into film and television. You know, Atlanta is growing in the film and television, as far as the film and television industry is concerned. There's so much film and TV work going on here. So there's so many artists here who want to be in film and television. And one of the most important things, one of the first things you have to learn and have to know is set etiquette. So that was something that I think was definitely needed at the show. There was a special effects demo with Lintu Holman that took place. And the first competition of the show was a bridal competition. And I wasn't able to see that, but the bridal market is huge, and probably huge all over, but, you know, it's bridal season now, and bridal is definitely big business. And I think sometimes when you first start out, and I can speak for myself, you know, when I first started out in makeup, of course I was doing all types of makeup. I was doing brides, I was doing photo shoots, you know, independent film and, you know, local television and that type of thing. But then my focus, once I started doing feature film and television, my focus was primarily film and television. Sometimes some of us get caught up in what our focus is, that we kind of get away from the things that we used to do. Like, I don't work at the counters anymore, the makeup counters in a department store any longer. But there was at one time when I wasn't doing brides, and I realized that, you know, it doesn't matter what my focus is in makeup. Bridal makeup is something I think that we all should continue to do. That's one of those things where, you know, if you're not doing anything else, you could be doing brides. So there was a bridal competition. Good to see that there was a focus on brides at the show. Then there was and they also had paid classes at PMAC this year. There were a bunch of paid classes. Highlighting contouring with Kelvin Myers was one. Eyebrow threading with Ija Gabrielle was another one. Eyelash extensions with Akira Randall. And then there was body painting with Rosemarie Kimball. There was a bridal class with Alex Butler. And then AJ Crimson did commercial makeup. So those were some of the paid classes at PMAC this weekend. Let's see, what else did they have at PMAC? Denise, did you recall any of the things that you paid attention to at PMAC?
I did know that they had a roundtable panel that I thought was interesting, that was some of the industry greats. I know the PMAC creator, Gwyneth Mosley, was on that panel. and they had some other local industry greats from the Atlanta area on that panel, and that was moderated by Keetrick Starks. I believe he moderated that panel last year. This year, the show seemed to be, although it's a very small show, and it's always been very small, it just seemed to be a little bit more intimate. I think people were able to really get more out of it because you have to appreciate the show for what it is. You can't expect it to be IMAX, or you can't expect it to be the makeup show. You know, this is a very young show. So you have to kind of appreciate it for exactly what it is. It's a small show that will continue to grow. The more people know about the show and hear about the show, it will continue to grow. I think there will be more vendors, but I think they have the perfect amount of vendors this time, because you're right, the focus was on the education, and I think that's what we need to get back to when it comes to trade shows. We need to focus on the education and not so much of purchasing. Of course, we want to go to the shows and we want to buy stuff and we want to see all the new tools and all the new colors and things like that. But the focus should always remain education. And then, you know, and then you can have some classes like I think Sean Richards from the London Brush Company. She did a class on brushes, and so that helped to sell more of her brushes. But the important thing about it is, when you know and understand what a brush is and how it's supposed to be used, then it really helps you in making that decision on which brushes to buy. So I thought that was brilliant to actually have that class. And then, you know, because the thing is, you know, when you think about when we started doing makeup and things like that, we bought everything. I mean, we bought everything that we could buy, makeup, brushes, you name it, we bought it. And a lot of times products and things will sit if you don't really know how to use them. So you, when you think about it, you almost waste your money on stuff because you buy it because you're a makeup artist, so you want everything, you want to try everything, but you don't actually use everything. So you kind of waste a lot of money on doing that. So it's really good when you can kind of focus and hone in on what it is that you want to do, which area of makeup you want to be in. So that way, if you're spending lots of money, then you're spending lots of money in the area that you want to work in. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's a little, yeah, you know, you're a little bit more focused.
That was one point that came out of one of the panels that I listened in on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that was on your panel, I believe.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, I think that's important to know and to remember. Well, speaking of the panels, like I was saying earlier, I sat in on a business panel, and it was called Representing Your Brand. And there were quite a few people on that panel, and it was a great panel because there were a lot of things discussed that makeup artists just don't think about and don't even think about. Some of them don't even remember to do certain things. And one of the panelists actually that was on there was someone that we had on the show a few weeks back, Buffy Purcell is her last name. And Purcell, mm-hmm. And she was on the show talking about taxes. This was right before the tax deadline. And she's scheduled actually to come back on the show on the 30th of this month to talk about savings, because as we were talking about taxes, she got into, you know, you guys got into talking about savings, and so she's coming back to talk specifically about saving. And that's one of the things that a lot of artists don't do, is we don't pay ourselves. You know, we work.
Mm-hmm.
We get paid and we spend money on, you know, we pay for our bills and we spend money on other things. Some things we can't even tell you what we spent the money on. And a lot of times we don't pay ourselves or put some money away for ourselves. You know, and this is an industry where you're working today, you're working next week, you're working next month. But after that month, you may not be working for several months. You know, and then so you're going to need something to fall back on unless, you know, you have something else that you do that brings in income. So she also, but on this panel yesterday, she spoke a lot about just things that we don't do for ourselves. And a lot of times makeup artists and hairstylists as well, anybody that's a freelancer in the beauty industry, a lot of times we're not you know, we do these jobs and we're not following up. Sometimes we do a job where they're going to pay us, like let's say in 30 days. A lot of us aren't even following up with people because sometimes we get so busy doing the next job and the next job and the next job that we haven't followed up when that 30 days have gone by to make sure that we're getting our pay. You know, because some people may say, well, that doesn't make sense. You know, I'm going to check on my, you know, my money. I want my money. I'm going to make sure I get my money. But after a while, if you get busy enough, there's a great chance that you could forget, you know, and not realize that you didn't get paid for something. So, you know, she talks about a lot of things. Her business, with her business, she offers a lot of services where you go out and do it. She goes out and does a lot of things for the freelancer. So she'll be back on the 30th to talk about savings, but she can also explain what she does for the freelancers, just in case there's listeners out there who would like to utilize her services. There was a woman there, and I'm going to tell you her company. Her company was Beauty Insurance Plus. So, you know, for the film and television makeup artist who's in a union, you know, we're covered in many ways with insurance. So when we go on set, we are covered. You know, a lot of us, and a lot of us think that when people mention insurance, in their heads they may be thinking health insurance. Yes, we all need health insurance. We all need health insurance, but as a freelancer, we need more than that. You know, and it's not something that you all think about often, but let one unfortunate incident come about, and then it becomes a legal and a financial nightmare for some people.
Right.
You know, and a lot of us, you know, don't think about that. But Beauty Insurance Plus covers makeup artists, cosmetologists, estheticians, nail techs, barbers, massage therapists, you know, and many more beauty professionals. They are offering a package for $149 for professionals and $25, if I remember correctly, for students. But the representative of Beauty Insurance, actually, she's one of the owners, actually, that was on the panel yesterday. We're going to schedule her to come on to Beauty Talk because we're starting a business series, actually, starting on the 30th with Buffy, and then we're going to follow up with a couple other people in business that are in business to help beauty professionals. So that for those of you who are listening, you'll have an idea of really what we need to be doing. You know, as a matter of fact, there was a makeup artist out of, was it Orlando, I believe it was, out of Orlando,
yes,
that was there sitting and listening, and she was asking questions about the insurance, and she said one of the things she said is, honestly, I cannot say that I know a makeup artist who's covered by insurance. Now, like I mentioned a few minutes ago, the makeup artist on film and television, you know, we're covered when we go on to set. There's not really a situation where if we're on set and something's happening, because we're not really on film and TV, we're doing makeup. We're not really providing any other services. You know, we're not waxing anyone. We're not, you know, there's no laser treatments. There's no anything where somebody could be burned or anything like that. Now, maybe somebody might get burned with a curling iron. That hasn't really happened, to the best of my knowledge. But I can't really see somebody suing somebody over a curling iron burn, but you never know.
You never know.
You never know. And so Beauty Insurance Plus, you know, they provide professional and general liability insurance, product liability, rental damage insurance, stolen equipment insurance, they offer an identity protection plan, and instant coverage and proof of insurance are, you know, available at checkout. So if you go online to get insurance from them, they're able to provide instantly coverage and proof of insurance. But we're going to definitely bring her on, and you can get all of your insurance questions answered. And she's going to also, when we bring her on, she's going to also provide some scenarios and some different case, read a couple case studies, so that we'll have an idea of why we need insurance. Because, like, I'll just use my sister and I as an example. We both work on feature film and television. We really don't need any additional coverage there because the production company is providing that. But we have, you know, we have this makeup and brow studio. So if we were to service a client out of our studio and, I don't know, let's say someone is burned with wax or something like that, they could possibly want to sue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's where this coverage right here comes in handy.
Exactly.
So, you know, there's a lot of hairstylists who are on who work on feature film and television. And then when they're not working there, they're in their salons or they're servicing, you know, a client in the salon, and something could very well happen with chemicals or something like that, a relaxer or something, and they need to be covered.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. You know, you may work in a day spa. You may be a massage therapist, a nail tech, barber, anything, any beauty professional, and you go into a salon atmosphere and you work, that's when you're going to definitely need that coverage. So, and I think I might agree with that young lady. I don't know if I know too many people who have it as well. We just don't think about it. Accidents like that don't happen much, but they do. And a lot of times, you know, maybe it's not so bad and the client don't make a big deal of it. But I will say that the moderator of that panel yesterday, she said that she was burned by an esthetician, and the only reason that she did not sue was because the esthetician was a family member.
Mm.
That's the only reason she didn't sue. So, I don't know.
And, you know, and thinking about, you know, a lot of makeup artists not really getting insurance, you know, when you think about, what do you call it, like the makeup artists that are working in department stores, you know,
mm-hmm.
for them, they're, you know, they're covered. They're covered by the department store.
Right.
And when you think, like you said, you mentioned with us having a studio, we could easily not do insurance, but then that would be crazy. That would really be
right.
crazy not to have insurance on a place of business like that. But for
right.
those people who don't have like a studio or some kind of storefront business, and you know they're just freelancing and they're just maybe traveling to somebody or someone traveling to them to get you know services done. Depending on what you're doing, you should think long and hard about getting insurance. And it's not very expensive at all. I mean, you can get
exactly.
insurance for less than $50 a month.
Well, you know what? I mean, even lot, you know, probably less than, I think she
oh, yeah,
threw
a lot
up a number yet.
As well.
Like it was like less than $20 a month. But, you know,
mm-hmm. depending on how much coverage
that you're
you get.
Yeah, those people that you're talking about, you're talking about, let's say, a makeup artist. She doesn't work on film and television, and she doesn't have a studio. She's not working in a salon or anything. She's just doing makeup, and then she let's say she's working on a photo shoot, and the model breaks out. Situations like that can often be tricky. And that is the reason why every time I've done this for 20 years, even on film and television sets, as soon as you sit in my seat, and this is the first time I've worked with you, I always ask, are you allergic to anything that you know of? That's the opportunity for someone to say, you know, yes, I'm allergic to such and such, and then you can be very careful about what you use on that person. You know, if they don't know, then you won't know. And then if they're willing to sit there and let you do their makeup, then they're taking a chance. There's a chance that maybe they may have an allergic reaction. Maybe they won't. If they do, I really don't see where they have grounds to try to do anything when you ask the question. And their response was they didn't know. But when someone breaks out from something and they're not sure, you know, if what they're allergic to, and they tell you that, I personally don't understand why people would try to sue from an allergic reaction of a product. You know what I mean?
Right.
You take your chances with that. You know, it's different when you come and you say to the person, I'm allergic to such and such. Please don't use, especially if they know particular products, don't use this product, that product, the other, or please don't use, you know, products with this particular ingredient. And you go ahead and you do it anyway. I can see that, but I just can't see, you know, some random product. You didn't know, you're not allergic to anything. And I asked you if you were allergic, and you said you're not allergic to anything, and then you break out. I really can't see people trying to sue over that. But there are so many times when those types of things come up, and it's just better to be safe than sorry. It's just better to be safe than sorry. I didn't mean to turn that into a whole discussion on insurance, but that was one of the things that was talked about and that was featured. And she'll be back. I mean, she'll be scheduled to come in during May to talk about insurance, to explain to us why we need it in greater detail and just tell us what the options are. You know, because those are some things that we don't talk about. A lot of makeup artists don't talk about financing, saving, 401Ks, IRAs, the difference between them, what's taxable when you take the money out, what's taxable up front. Just different things that we don't think about because we're so busy trying to be creative that we, you know, that we're not thinking about that part of it. So, you know, a lot of times people don't look at themselves individually as a business. And in every business, there's the part where you're doing whatever it is that makes you money. So if it's you're selling something or if you're designing or creating something, you're so busy with whatever the business is that you're not taking time to do the business side of your business. And so that's what these people and that's what the next few shows are going to be about, the business of beauty. The woman who moderated the panel yesterday will also be coming on to talk about exactly that, the beauty of this of business. The business of beauty, I'm sorry, the business of beauty. She'll be here to talk about the business of beauty, and she has a lot of interesting things to share and talk about with that. And I won't talk too much about that. We'll just wait for her to come on. But she'll be on in a few weeks as well to share with us. So some interesting stuff. I think it'll wake some of us up, have some of us to really pay attention to, you know, saving and thinking about the future. I think some beauty professionals, and not all, but just some beauty professionals, don't think about the future and what they're going to do after they stop, you know, after they stop working in the salon, after they retire from doing film and television or from doing, you know, whatever it is that they do in the beauty business. You know, what are you going to do next? Preparing for that, getting that started while you're still working, saving for your future when you do retire, because it can be different depending, you know, with film and television. You know, we get money paid into our pension, and And it's in a small way, just like going to a job that you go to every day. You know, it's in a small way like that. So when you retire from it, you have something set aside and something to look forward to. But a lot of times when you're just going to work as a makeup artist and you're getting paid, let's say every 30 days or something like that, and you're getting a 1099, there's mm-hmm. There's no money being put anywhere for you. You know what I mean? There's nothing going to a pension. You know, so how do you save for retirement, and how do you, you know, plan for retirement? You know, so that'll be discussed soon as well. One of the things that Cornelia, who's the woman that's going to talk about the business of beauty, you know, she talked about what do you do? When somebody asks you, what do you do? What do you say? And, of course, you may say, you know, I'm a makeup artist. But she's going to talk a little bit more in detail about what should be going into our answer, you know, what our answer should sound like. So definitely have some interesting stuff coming up, and I'm excited about it because, you know, we just got a glimpse of it on the panel yesterday, but it's going to be some exciting stuff that we're going to discuss here on Beauty Talk. So tell us a little bit more about your panel today, Primetime TV MUAs. There were a couple of makeup department heads there. Survivor's Remorse was one of the shows. You were the department head from Survivor's Remorse. Then there was Vampire Diaries department head. And the television show Star, that department head was there. Representatives from Greenleaf was there. And then a representative from, what's the TV show? Oh, my goodness. I can't think of the TV show that Sag is from.
Sleepy Hollow. Looks like you summed
Sleepy
up the
Hollow.
Whole panel.
Yeah. Yeah, there were representatives from those shows there. And I wasn't able to sit in on the entire thing. I guess I got there halfway through or right after the introduction. But there were a lot of things that came out of it, and it talked a lot about, you know, you guys talked a lot about working on set. A lot of questions were asked about how to get into the union. What's the difference between department head, key, and third? You know, working with actors who, particularly female actors who, you know, kind of know what they want and how they want to look, and, you know, coming in wanting you to give them what they want, but you, on the other hand, know what the director is looking for, what the directors and the producers are looking for, you know, as well as you have your own thing that you like to do. So it's just talking about how to bring all of those aspects together to create the look. What else was talked about in that panel?
I mean, you really literally summed up the whole panel.
I was just trying to remember what I heard.
You know, I think the focus of Primetime TV, I think, you know, there were maybe one or two questions asked about Primetime TV, and I think we kind of lost focus on what we were really supposed to be there and talking about, because I think the moderator's questions, I don't know if they were more geared to certain people depending on their bios or what the case may be, but the questions kind of veered a little bit away from primetime television itself, which I kind of wish that was really the focus of people could really see and really understand what that's like. I mean, I think we touched on it enough to give people an idea. But things kind of went more towards, you know, how to get into the hair and makeup union, how to find kind of how to find work on primetime TV. You know, I think the questions kind of went that way, and then we kind of talked about a little bit about if we've ever worked with a difficult client, and then how did we deal with that. I mean, you know, there were some interesting questions that we were kind of able to kind of turn them around a little bit and kind of bring it back to our primetime television experiences. So, again, we had makeup artists on all levels, mostly department head makeup artists, some key makeup artists, and then some were just like thirds or just additional makeup people on some of these television shows. And, again, like you said, I was from the department head from Survivor's Remorse. We had a department head from Star, the television show Star, that's directed by Lee Daniels. And then, of course, we had the key makeup person from Greenleaf on the panel. And then we had a young lady that works as a third or something on Sleepy Hollow. And then we had the department head from Vampire Diaries as well. So there's about five of us on the panel. And, you know, we people ask questions about how do when you have other things going on besides working on the on television shows, and you know, and you have a lot going on, how do you maintain some sort of balance? And the way I responded was, I'm not really sure I'm balancing everything, and I'm not really sure that that it can be balanced, and maybe it can, but just. I think my main response to that was pretty much focusing on what's most important to you and putting, you know, most of your time into that. And then, you know, giving other things, you know, just prioritizing basically and just giving other things more of your time, just depending on what's important to you. And so we talked about things like that. We talked about a little bit about, you know, like I said, difficult actors, which nobody really had too many experiences with that. We talked about how, you know, it's not so much of our vision as the makeup person. It's all about what your director wants, what your director wants to see. And even though your actresses or your actors will play a part in telling you how they want to look, you and then you have your own ideas of how you want them to look, but you have to ultimately give that director what he wants. But you being the creative, you know, at this point, you become creative in finding ways of merging all of it together and still being able to give the director what he wants or what she wants.
Right. One of the interesting things, Gwyneth Mosby, who is the creator of this trade show, one of her favorite makeup artists is Reggie Wells. And the one thing that I love, that I do love about PMAC, is that every time I come, you will see Reggie Wells there. I think he has been at every PMAC, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. And the thing that I really love about Reggie is the older he gets, the more I realize that he never changes. And I used to assist Reggie Wells years ago, early in my career. I traveled with Reggie on a few jobs and assisted him with Destiny's Child. And I learned a lot, you know, from Reggie. And just one, I assisted him before the Destiny's Child gig, you know, before then. But I've always learned a lot about Reggie. Listening to some of his stories, I learned a lot from that, just learning tips and watching him do things. But now Reggie is doing something very interesting, and he's moved back to his hometown of Baltimore, Maryland, which is where we're from, actually. And he's moved back to Baltimore to, I guess, help take care of or just to be close to his 94-year-old father. And one of the things that Reggie is doing is he's going into the nursing homes. And I'm not sure if his father is in a nursing home. He never said that, but I'm not sure if his father is in a nursing home, but he's going into the nursing homes and they're just spending time making up some of the older people that are there in the nursing homes. And there, he's actually doing this, and they're taking their show on the road, so to speak, like a little mini six-city tour. So Reggie's actually going to be a guest on Beauty Talk within the next month or two to actually, you know, just so that we can catch up with him, see what he's doing in the world of beauty, and then he's going to share a little bit about what he's doing with some of his older clients that are in the nursing homes. I think it's very interesting that, you know, he's showing, because like he said, some of these people in the nursing homes, some of their family members put them there and don't visit. And so they're all, you know, they're just there. So for someone to come in and pay them some attention and take time with them and love on them, make them, we all know how it feels, how makeup makes us feel, you know, and you know that could be at any age, whether you're in your 20s right. or whether you're in your 80s, you know, we all, you know, feel good about ourselves when we're made up. So I think it's a great thing that he's doing, and he's going to come on and talk about it and also share some of the other things that he's doing in beauty and what he's been up to. So it's a good
awesome.
Thing Reggie is going. Yeah, it's awesome. It's awesome. You talked about it being a small number of vendors there, and we had Sean Richards, a film and television makeup artist who has her own brush line, the London Brush Company, LBC by Sean Richards. She was the only brush company there, appeared to be doing very well there. She even did a class on how to use some of her brushes, which I think was great. You know, it's good to see because, you know, sometimes people come and they see, you know how we are, you know, you and I are brush junkies, you know, but every brush that I buy, I know how to, you know, I pretty much know how to use or what it's used for or what I want to use it for. When you see some of Sean's brushes, some of them, the way they're cut and the way they're made, sometimes it makes you wonder, okay, what am I going to do with this? But again, when I pick up a brush, I could automatically, I don't know what she may have designed it for, but I know what I would use it for. You know what I mean? That type of thing. But she had a class talking about, you know, how to use the brushes, which I think is awesome. And I'm sure people ran to the booth after that class. To try to pick up some brushes. She has great, great brushes, you know, great quality brushes. She has a effects line that she has there. She had a couple specials and deals, package deals going on there. And I totally forgot, but I meant to go back and get one of the cleaning cloths that she had. Totally forgot to do it, so I'll have to get it from her at some point. But there was AJ Crimson there. He was there with his line. There, and if I'm not mistaken, from what I remember seeing, that was the only line there. There was Inglot was there. It was Inglot, AJ Crimson. I don't recall. Oh, Joe Blasco was there. I was trying to remember, like, lines that kind of had, you know, AJ has his foundations and powders and lip products. And then Inglot, they have a full line. They have the foundations, the powders, the eyeshadows, the blush. They had a full, complete line of products there. Joe Blasco, I believe they had their full line of products there. They had a lot of stuff there. You know, they had books. You know, student brush kits. I'm trying to remember. Shadows, of course, maybe blush, maybe some palettes. I know Norcosco, Atlanta Costume, they had brushes from Royal and Langnickel there, a couple of their brush sets, the Revolution brush set. They had some, let's see, they had some kits there. I can't remember what else they had there. Oh, they had a few Mehron palettes and they had a few Ben Nye palettes. What I remember seeing. You had a couple of Mink lash lines there. I think I saw about two. Lena Anderson, who's a fellow film and makeup artist, film and TV makeup artist, she has her own line of natural skincare products, Mindful Mist, that was there. I'm trying to remember. Temp 2 was, I think maybe Temp 2 was there, I think Lena was saying, but I don't remember seeing them.
I think they were at the North Costco table.
Oh, okay. They were at the North Costco table. Okay. I'm trying to remember what other vendors were there. It was, like I said, it was a small amount of vendors. They were, you know, during the times when I had a chance to walk around, I don't remember if I saw everyone or not. But again, it was a small amount of vendors. So basically, I'm pretty sure all the vendors that were there were able to do well because it was such a small amount of vendors. And if you came there to purchase, then you probably could get something from every one. Again, they had a pretty decent lineup of education. Let me just tell you about a couple of the other classes they had. That maybe I did not mention. The camouflage makeup with Aaron Madigan. Commercial lighting for photography with Kevin Gooseby. Joe Blasco had a product knowledge class. And speaking of Joe Blasco is moving his distribution center from California to Georgia. And they're opening up a store in Noonan, Georgia. So Joe Blasco is opening a store in Noonan, Georgia. It's about an hour outside of Atlanta, where they will sell the entire Joe Blasco line as well as other product brands. And then, like I said, he's moving the distribution center from California to Georgia as well. So that was pretty interesting. And definitely needed here in the Atlanta area with so much going on. Definitely need the resources to be able to get a lot of products quicker. There was a class on microblading. There was a class on the latest beauty trends. Fantasy makeup with Kelvin Myers. There was a, let's see, I told you about the bridal class. There was a body painting class. I think I might have mentioned that one. Yeah, so, you know, one thing I loved was that, you know, they had a special effects panel discussion, and then they had a couple of special effects demos and classes that took place. So that was pretty good. A lot of film and TV people here were able to come and really represent and participate at this year's PMAC, which I thought was really good. I don't know if some of the people who were attended thought the focus this year was on film and TV. I don't think it was intended to be that way, but there were a lot of film and television artists who sat on a lot of the panels. You know, you had the primetime panel, the business panel, the FX panel. There's a lot of film and TV people on those panels. So, but I thought it was good. You know, the Atlanta makeup community is kind of well-rounded. You have, you know, your beauty artists here. You have your bridal and film and TV artists here. You have a lot of special effects people here. You know, so it's kind of well-rounded. And I think this PMAC show has the potential to be whatever the makeup artists here in Atlanta want it to be. you know, whatever they mm-hmm. want to see, whatever they, you know, whatever they want to make it, I think it has the potential to be whatever that is.
Right.
So I think they did a pretty good job this year with the show. I really, really loved the location versus, you know, the locations, the different locations. They've had the show in a few different locations over the 4 years, but I really enjoyed I liked this location for some reason. It just seems to work. This is just my opinion. I would love to see at least a good five more, you know, five more vendors at least.
Mm-hmm.
At least. And I think there's, honestly, I think there's room to even do 10 more, and you would just have to, you know, set the space up a little differently. But I feel like you could have 10 more vendors and still not have it so that each of the vendors that are there feel like they're competing against each other. You know what I mean? Because, you know, when
right.
you go to, like, and I'll use IMATS for an example. You know, IMATS has, oh, my gosh, so many vendors. It's crazy, which, you know, I love that. Because the number of vendors there doesn't stop me from going there and taking advantage of education. You know what I mean? You know, I go there for the education, and there's plenty of time for the shopping. So that doesn't stop me. Having a lot of vendors doesn't stop me from getting the education. But IMATS has there's a lot of vendors in IMATS. And, of course, there are so many people that sell the same things. You go to a lot of these big trade shows, and I say, for instance, you have Royal and Lang Nickel brushes. You have Crown brushes. And then I remember going one year, there was Royal and Lang Nickel, there was Crown, and then there was I can't think of the names. I call it the sister company to Crown.
Morphe
brushes. And then you would have like these other brush companies that were just, you know, their booths were smaller or what have you. And to me, that didn't take away from all the brush companies. Like, I feel like makeup artists, when they come to trade shows, of course they're going to buy makeup. But the one thing they're going to do is buy brushes. And if you feel like, you know, this is my budget and I have a small amount of money to spend, you know, if you feel like, well, I can go over to this particular booth because it's going to be cheaper and I can get a lot more for my money, and then people run that way. But then there are people who say, you know, I like such and such brush company because their brushes are great quality. You know, and I don't care about the prices because they still have a decent price, you know, affordable brushes, but very good quality brushes. Then I'm going to go this direction, you know. So
right.
The amount of vendors really doesn't matter to me, but I would love to see at PMAC where they would have a few more, but still not have to be so competitive. You know, the vendors don't have to feel like they're competing against each other.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be great to see that. Is there anything you think that PMAC should do differently?
I think PMAC has a lot going on when it comes to, like, the demos. And, you know, you've got the demos, you've got the competitions. I would like to see, I mean, you had mentioned before, more seminar-type classes. Less paid classes. Like, if they're going to be paid classes, I would like to see probably those paid classes be done maybe on a Friday somewhere, whether it's
right.
at the same location or not, but just paid classes done maybe like a day before, you know, so people can focus on that. And so then I think more of the seminar type classes can get, can have more of an audience in them, and you can focus more on education where it's not hands-on, but maybe you have a demo and then you can ask questions about it. So because there are a lot of people who are newbies in the industry, and for them, I think they just need to be able to wrap their heads around everything that's coming at them, because you have a lot going on with, you have, like you said, the threading, microblading, it's a lot going on with a lot of different techniques being thrown out there, a lot of different and new services being thrown around, and it's like, you know, some of them are still trying to learn makeup. So it would just be nice to kind of have, you know, even if they did during a certain time offer like classes for newcomers. You know what I'm saying? Maybe like, because I noticed that on like from 10 to 11, there's like a pro only shopping hour. So maybe if they have for like an hour or two, have like a newbie only education hour, so that, you know, just so that there may be like specific classes for newcomers. And it doesn't have to be a newbie hour or anything like that, but just have specific classes for newcomers during certain times, or just making sure you have more classes for newbies, actually. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that they can, you know, so there's certain things instead of just having, and I'm not saying they had random classes because they weren't random. They were different services and different things that any makeup artist at any level would like to learn. But I think for some newcomers, things can be a little bit more confusing and a little bit more overwhelming. So it just helps if you just had certain classes for them to choose from, you know, just so that they can feel like these classes are for them. So, you know what I mean? So it kind of helps them matriculate through the whole weekend, so to speak.
Right.
It's a lot. It's like,
right,
you know, you're looking like, oh, gosh. I mean, because you remember when we first started going to IMAX, it was like that. It was very overwhelming. It was like, okay, well, do I go here? Well, I want to go here, and I want to go here, and I want to go here, and I don't want to miss the shopping, and then there's a demo at that booth at such and such time. And it's like before you even take your trip to go to IMAX, you have to write down everything that you want to do, even if it conflicts with another class or something going on at the same time. You write down everything you want to do, and then you kind of go back and say, okay, which one do I really want to do? Because both of these classes are at the same time. Or you go to that one, and
right,
I'll go to this one, and then we'll compare notes. I mean, it's just a lot. It's really a lot going on. So if there was a way that PMAC could simplify some things for the newcomers, I think that would help people out a lot. I really
right.
do.
Right. But all in all, I thought that this year's show was really good. And I think if they at least continue somewhat on this path, then for future shows, it can only get better.
Right. Absolutely.
Yep. So great job to Gwyneth and her staff. And that is our show for tonight. Again, our guest that was supposed to be on was Stephanie from Mayron, and we will get her back on a future date. So it may be late May or it may be June when we have our next availability for her. So with that being said, stay tuned for next week. Next week is the 30th, so we have Buffy Purcell coming back with us next Sunday to talk about the freelancer and saving. So we're starting our series of business conversations. So join us next Sunday night for that. And also, as always, follow us on social media. Quickly, we are on Facebook at Beauty Talk Online. We are on Twitter as Beauty_Talk and on Instagram as Beauty_Talk_Media. All right, so thank you guys for tuning in tonight. Thank you for your continued support. A big thank you and hello to those who are going to listen to us on the playback. And thank you. We have some new listeners and followers in Ghana, I do believe. So thank you guys for tuning in. Thanks for all of our supporters. And we have a lot of new supporters in some of the African countries. Thank you guys for tuning in so much. So thank you all for listening. Have a wonderful and a good night, and have a beautiful and blessed week. Good night, everybody.
Good night.